a handyman working for a Jewish temple in Allentown, Pennsylvania, had asked for a raise and was turned down. He decided to quit and went out to look for work. First, he went to a Catholic church and was told that in order to work there, he would have to answer one question. The priest asked, "Where was Jesus born?" The man answered, "Pittsburgh," and was thrown out. He then went to a Baptist church. The minister told him that in order to get a job there, he would have to answer a question. He was asked, "Where was Jesus born?" The man answered, "Philadelphia." He was tossed out. Walking away, he met the rabbi who was looking for him. The rabbi exclaimed, "The board approved your raise. Please come back immediately." The man said to the rabbi, "I will come back only if you answer a question. Where was Jesus born?" The rabbi says, "Bethlehem." "Huh," cries the man, "I knew it was somewhere in Pennsylvania." Well, same name, different country. Now, though, why is there a city named Bethlehem in Pennsylvania? To widen the question, why are 28 communities in 22 states and one territory named Bethlehem? To further widen the question, why are there well over 1,000 American place names that come straight out of the Bible? Seems to me that indicates that a whole lot of people who settled and named cities, towns, and villages in the United States not only owned Bibles, but actually read them and knew the stories, histories, people, and places within its pages. Conclusion: America was so filled with Christians and the Christian faith that, indeed, it was founded as a distinctly Christian nation, unlike any other the world had ever known. America has always been and always will be a Christian nation, or until perhaps when the Lord Jesus returns and snatches up his church, the Christians, in the rapture. Speaking of biblical names scattered all over the American landscape, did you know there are many Ninevehs? Nineveh, we recall, was the famous great capital city of the Assyrian Empire that overthrew the northern kingdom of Israel way back in 722 BC. It's most well known in the Bible as recorded in the book of Jonah for being the depraved, sin-filled cesspool metropolis, capital city of Assyria, if ever there was a city ripe for God's judgment since Sodom and Gomorrah, Nineveh was it. But shortly after a total solar eclipse and an earthquake the same year, which they recognized as a sign, they heard Jonah's preaching warning them that in 40 days God would step in and overthrow their city. Amazingly and miraculously, the entire city woke up, straightened up, humbled themselves, and repented. They took God seriously, not least of which the king himself, and God relented and spared them. But as humans are so wont to do, they all too quickly forgot about God as the crisis passed and life returned to normal. Back into sin and rebellion against God's way they went, and less than 100 years later, the great, invincible Nineveh was destroyed by the Babylonians. Ultimately, why? Nineveh was the hub of the ancient demon goddess Ishtar. The grand temple of this idol was in Nineveh, where drag queen priests were celebrants, sacrificing children to this satanic evil. Sound familiar? But did you know that a statue looking very much like Ishtar was erected this past January on top of a New York City courthouse. A larger copy of it was made 18 feet tall and moved from New York to the University of Houston to promote abortion and memorialize the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So what's the deal with the many Ninevehs in America? Well, it just so happens that there are 11 Ninevehs in the path of the coming total solar eclipse on April 8th. Just coincidence? The secular, godless world news media wants to treat this eclipse, as it has all the others, as just another interesting astronomical phenomenon. But as God told us in Genesis 1:14 through 18, that he created the sun and moon and stars to be signs, to demarcate time periods, regulate day and night, to divide light from dark. So if there are special astronomical events, then we, the people of God, the people who have God's holy word right at our fingertips, need to sit up and pay attention because God is speaking. Do you hear him? Are you starting each day reading his word? He'll speak if you'll listen. The path of next month's eclipse enters the United States in Texas and crosses over 11 Ninevehs, one even in Missouri, in the next county north of where I grew up. Do you think the Lord is trying to say something? Nineveh, 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 Nineveh. Maybe he wants us to think about Nineveh, the famous one, the one Jonah the prophet preached to. Would you agree? The eclipse happening on April 8th is the third consecutive sign from heaven, the third warning. No other nation is known that God has clearly marked on its territory three times that judgment is coming unless there is repentance. For ancient Nineveh, Jonah told the Ninevites that judgment would come in 40 days. Fortunately, after having seen the sign of the eclipse and felt the earthquake, Jonah's preaching was taken seriously, and the people did repent. So what happens when 40 days after next month's eclipse? It's the eve of Pentecost, May 19th. And what happened on the day of Pentecost, Shavuot in Hebrew, in the year 1? The church was born. The Holy Spirit of God came down, and the world has never been the same since. What do you think will happen this May 19th? We can all feel the tension building in our nation and in the world. The absolute depravity, cesspool of corruption that characterizes so many of our national leaders, the bureaucracies, even local governments, school boards, even neighbors who grievously sinned in secret while acting respectably in public, must be rooted out for America to be saved. And God has every intention of doing just that, because he is not done with us yet, not by a long shot. But the ride is going to be very bumpy. Even now, our wicked regime in Washington, D.C. is attempting to force Israel to lose its war with Hamas. They are trying to shove a two-state solution down Israel's throat. I doubt that even they believe it will result in peace. Rather, the whole political theater is purposely designed to result in the extermination of the Jews, God's chosen people. In other words, it's the devil's ancient agenda repeating. Prophet Brandon Biggs saw in a vision that Biden Obama will try to coerce Israel into giving part of eastern Jerusalem as a capital for a Palestinian state. What do you think God thinks of such attempts to divide his land, land that he owns? Well, as history has repeatedly shown, natural disasters strike the United States every time we've tried to give away parts of the promised land. Biggs's vision showed that after the next attempt to divide Jerusalem, 3 days later, the New Madrid Fault will move. This earthquake will result in massive destruction, including here in our city. It will set off other quakes in Oklahoma and surrounding states, resulting in great loss of life, turmoil, and scarcity from supply chain disruptions, which last for months, not least resulting from destroyed bridges. Financially, of course, the markets will crash. So, prepare. This may well occur in the next few months. For where do the paths of the two spectacular total solar eclipses that have crisscrossed the United States in 2017 and 2024 intersect each other? Right over the New Madrid Fault. As the Biden-Obama regime attempts to get as many votes as possible in the November election, hanging Israel out to dry seems to be the calculation. They think they'll stand to gain more Muslim votes in Michigan and Minnesota than Jewish votes they'll lose. They ultimately don't really care what happens to Israel at all. If Hamas wins, then eventually Israel will be wiped off the map. Why else did Biden just give Iran yet another $10 billion? So Israel truly is facing an existential crisis, with America trying to cut off all aid, financial and military, for Israel. To whom does Israel turn? This is what happened around the year 550 BC when Esther became queen of the Medo-Persian Empire. The book of Esther is not part of the Lutheran lectionary readings, but since the joyous holiday of Purim, which commemorates what she did in bringing about the salvation of the Jews, is next Sunday, it's also coincidentally strangely relevant to the world in 2024. Israel is again finding itself in a war for its very survival. In the Persian Empire, modern-day Iran, the Jews were ordered to be killed, every last one of them, wiped off the face of the map, as the modern-day government of Iran repeatedly chants. As Esther instructed all her fellow Jews to fast and pray for her success, that all would be able to successfully defend themselves against those attempting to kill them all, so too we must help Israel today and ensure God's will for America be realized by fasting and praying. Though most of us are old, we are not here by accident. Like Esther, we too are here by God's foresight and purposeful design for just such a time as this. We are truly a vital part of God's salvation plan for America, Israel, and indeed the world. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, so very much, even though it boggles our minds that you would choose to accomplish your will through us. But we are so much more than we realize, for what Jesus purchased for us on the cross has given us his authority delegated to us, and what we do in prayer, what we pronounce with our mouths and speak into the atmosphere, brings forth your will on this planet. How powerful we truly are. Help us to realize this and to pray and fast now for Israel and for America and for the world. In your name we pray. Amen.